right here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, I'm here with Paul Smith, who runs the public sector program at Red Hat. How are you, Paul?
Doing well, John. Thank you.
Been a while since you've been in the studio. I thought it'd be good to touch base and maybe bring my listeners up to speed with Red Hat, and thought we'd bring you in here and talk about virtualization, some new initiatives that you have, and how you can benefit my listeners. But all my listeners want to know, well, geez, you know, how'd you wind up working for Red Hat, and how'd you wind up in this crazy business? And give us a little thumbnail sketch of your background, how you wound up with this organization, Paul.
Well, it's been about 6 years now. I joined Red Hat after starting a public sector business unit for Veritas back in 2000. And I came over here, basically my second gig at this. I currently serve as the vice president and general manager for our North American public sector. And it's never been boring.
everyone could say the last 5 years has been boring.
Yeah, we have. We've had a good time. We've built a very large team who focus daily on the requirements of the federal, state, local, and higher ed space, including all the systems integrators that serve these markets.
So tell us now about Red Hat, size of the company, how long you've been in business, and what kind of federal presence you have.
Well, John, since I joined, Red Hat's grown phenomenally from about a $120 million company in revenues worldwide, finished last year at about $750 million.
You should take credit for that. I mean, let's go ahead and take credit for it. It's all because of you.
I'd love to, but there's a large organization in five different geographies that are contributing to that. But over that span of time, we've grown to about $750 million. Now, that's about 600% or six times in 6 years. We're about 3,200 employees, and our market cap right now is about $7 billion.
Who'd have thunk it? I mean, who'd have thunk it? I remember years ago when those guys in North Carolina had this crazy idea, right?
It's nuts. If you think about it, that $7 billion market cap, were about twice the size that Sun Microsystems was before they were acquired by Oracle. So,
no one would bet it, I guess, if you walked up to someone on the street and said, well, let's compare different size companies. Even the people in the know may not realize that.
No, it's just a testament to what's going on in open source, not only from a product standpoint of where we concentrate, but also just a development methodology. So it's an idea whose time has come.
There have been a lot of new product announcements here in the last 60 days, but let's maybe paint the picture a little bit better for some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with different operating systems or Red Hat itself. So tell us about Linux and Red Hat and where you position yourself in the world of operating systems.
So I'll focus a little bit on how we're positioned right in the government space. And right now we're about 120 people that are sales, engineering, channel, and marketing that are specifically concentrating on the needs and requirements of those customers. And also, since the adoption of open source technology and development models have been on an absolute tear, and I think a lot of this is attributable to the current administration's penchant for open standards and transparency. And you'll witness projects in the government like Forge.mil. GSA is working on their own Forge.gov. These are projects that actually stress transparency and collaboration, not only for products, but in how projects are managed. If you take a look at positioning documents from the OSD memo from Mr. Dave Winogren, all the way through to the Open Government Directive, which was kind of a manifesto that was issued by the Office of Management and Budget, that absolutely mandated by the Obama administration, transparency, collaboration, and participation. These are the basic tenets of open source, and it's a basic tenets of how the government is going to market these days.
We had Dave in this studio just a couple weeks back, And what a great guy. He's really entertaining and fun and smart, and he's got a whole lot of background there, too. What's interesting is that he doesn't care if it's open source or no source or blue or green or pink. He just wants it to be open and safe and secure. And he says, well, I think we can listen to you and find out. He said, look, here's the objectives. What is the straightest path to get there? And whether it's open source, not open source, and many times it seems to go down the open source road. I think that's really what this recent administration, recent change is looking at, is they're trying to be open-minded to many different solutions and say, well, what is the shortest path to accomplishing this task? And it looks like Red Hat's fit the bill on many occasions.
And I think what Wennegren's memo really did was try to, for all of the DOD, is set a stage that said, best value is most important, and don't disregard open source when you're looking at best value. And that comes down to a lot of things, which are performance, scalability, and security. So yes, it should be all decisions should be weighed on their merits, and open source should definitely be part of that decision-making process.
So what relationship does Red Hat have with the Linux community and revisions to the code and those all those little sophisticated subtleties?
Well, Linux is really the Linux kernel community and thousands of other open source projects bundled into these distributions, and they're different distribution flavors for different audiences, such as hobbyists, students, developers. If you take a look at projects like the Fedora project as an example, it's basically the world's largest test lab, and it's where we take a look at the best things that are happening in a large community and move those into a stable environment.
When you look at the Washington, D.C. community, both commercial and federal, and if you would graph your penetration, I see a lot of penetration of open source in the medical community, right up Route 355, and I don't even know why that's the case. I don't know if it's just some factors there. Would you agree with that? Would you say you've had a lot more success in the medical community, more military? And what federal agencies do you think you had most success in?
Well, I would say it's pervasive across a lot of industries. On the commercial side, it's basically about competitive advantage. On the public sector side, it's about being able to deliver against the mission in a secure and scalable and performant manner. Some of our largest customers are the investment bankers on Wall Street. We do a lot of work in the oil and gas industries. On the animation studio side, DreamWorks recently committed to all of our cloud infrastructure to help them in the production of their next film.
Well, think about that. The guys in New York City use it, and the guys in the West Coast use it. What's the commonality?
The commonality is just best value. It's openness. It's the ability to have choice in where you want to take your technology without being locked in to someone's framework.
You know, I would think that with a financial community, you want to be secure and handle lots and lots of data. I would think that out in the West Coast, they'd want to maybe focus in on just enormous amounts of data. So it seems to be a convergence for some of your technologies. And let's not let out the people in town here who need security and handling large amounts of data as well.
Well, handling large amounts of data, right now we're tracking from the National Weather Service, if you will, many different hurricanes. And all of those systems, all the hurricane tracking systems, as an example, where they're just crunching large amounts of data, are all being run on Red Hat Enterprise Linux.
That's interesting. When we get back, we'll take a break, talk a little more about some of your recent announcements, talk about Red Hat Cloud Foundations, and where you position yourself with federal IT professionals. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Paul Smith. He runs the public sector at Red Hat.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Paul Smith. He runs the public sector at Red Hat. tons and tons of things to talk about. If you pick up the newspaper or go to your search engine, you find out a lot of big announcements in the last few months from Red Hat, something called Red Hat Cloud Foundations. So, Paul, from the perspective of my listeners, from the perspective of an overworked federal IT professional, what is Red Hat Cloud Foundations and why should they be concerned with it?
So, Cloud Foundations is basically a framework of products such as virtualization technologies, software and middleware, and an operating support system to support applications and tools. What's going on right now, and also in this framework, there's reference architectures for being able to stand up a cloud. There is a very large land grab going on right now in the areas of cloud computing. And part of Cloud Foundations is also about having open APIs, such that you don't get subject to what could be the mother of all lock-ins, what we call cloud lock-in. So an open API that we developed called Delta Cloud has actually been submitted, and we've contributed all of our code to the Apache Software Foundation, where they will act as steward of these open APIs, which will allow you to integrate and have portability between a variety of public and private clouds.
So if you're a CIO at an agency and you're scratching your head, and Obama's pushing you to go into the cloud, and you're wary if you commit all your resources to vendor A, you may only be able to play in vendor A's sandbox for the rest of your life. What you might want to do is say, well, I want to have more of a, an ability to move away from one vendor or another, and this may be a framework to enable that.
Well, years ago when we talked about the benefits of Linux, the main benefits were about choice of operating system, choice of running over 3,000 plus applications. That's what's going on in cloud right now. If you take a look at some of the public clouds like Amazon's EC2, and you write everything to that that API, then down the road you're going to be locked into a development methodology, possible virtualization technologies, and Delta Cloud at least gives the promise of having the ability to run on anybody's cloud, whether it's TerraMark, whether it's Rackspace, EC2 on the public side, and also have interoperability with your sensitive data, especially in the federal government, for work that you might be doing on the private, in the private clouds.
You know, 10 years ago, I remember picking up a box of Red Hat Linux and running it and playing around with it, a couple of desktop machines I had in my basement, and that's how I learned about it. Here it is, you know, fast forward 10 years later, I think CIOs are looking at, you know, well, let's take a look at this concept, and how can it help me make a safer bet for my systems? And you tell you the truth, many of my federal IT professionals that I know, they have a personal commitment in serving citizens, in serving military, serving soldiers, and they don't want to be boxed into a corner. They want to have that flexibility there. It's like if you buy a car, you can only buy gasoline at the corner gas station. Well, what if you go on a trip? I mean, I once owned a diesel car. I could only go to diesel gas stations, and that, believe it or not, that limited me. And I like going to any gas station from here to St. Louis and buying gas, not having to map out ahead of time those stations. And I think that's the strength of what the Red Hat Cloud Foundations brings, or should bring in the future. Hmm?
Indeed, in terms of what is a portable cloud, I think IDC wrote in a recent report that open APIs and interoperability are the essential components for customers considering a cloud. And 80% of organizations cite that their lack of interoperability standards as the major challenge to adopting these services. And I think this goes right in line with what Vivek Kundra has been talking about for most of his tenure as the federal CIO, is that we need to establish standards to have hybrid type of environments.
You know, I don't think Vivek Kundra ever thinks about Shrek or DreamWorks, but we're going to switch gears here and talk about DreamWorks Animation and Shrek and Red Hat technology. So we have federal agencies who are looking at satellite information and maps and have tons and tons of graphic information. They have to juggle that. You look at an organization like the folks in L.A., DreamWorks Animation, they have tons and tons of graphical information that has to be rendered. I can remember years ago, they'd start something and render it all night long and hope to be able to edit in the morning. I mean, this has changed so drastically, and Red Hat's had a big win out there, haven't they?
Well, we have, and if you take a look at the product that DreamWorks puts out, it's best of class, right? So to them, they want to be able to get their feature films produced in an economical and fast manner. And for years, we've had a close partnership with them in terms of underlying infrastructure. But they've basically very recently adopted to our entire cloud infrastructure to help them manage the future productions. Now, what might seem strange is that there's a mutual love and admiration between the intelligence community and DreamWorks.
Well, that's hard to believe, isn't it?
So
unlikely bedfellows.
Well, we had a customer here from one of the three-letter agencies that recently took a road trip out west. They were very interested to see how they were at DreamWorks managing all these massive amounts of data, you know. DreamWorks is very interested because of everything that's going on in national security as to how this particular agency was doing data collection and dissemination and analysis. So while they're completely different in what they do for a living, a lot of the essentials of what has to happen in the cloud are very important to both of them.
Well, I sure would want to turn in that expense report over at one of those serious agencies and say, oh, yeah, I had a fly out to see the people who made Shrek. You get bounced out of there pretty quickly, I would imagine, huh? But seriously, you know, if you're working for an agency and you do have some challenges in managing large amounts of data, what you can look at is the commercial world and say, well, how do they skin the cat in the commercial world? How do they do that securely? Maybe we should take a look and see what successes they've had. And I think it's part of being open. I mean, if you're going to follow Dave Winogrand's suggestion of that, what's the straightest line? Well, you can't put your head in the ground. You have to keep your head up and see what's coming. And maybe that is the straightest line. And if that's the straightest line, well, then do it.
And government's had a lot of leadership in this area. There's a lot of commercial customers that are involved with our products and services because of some of the great successes on the federal government side. If you take a look at across all federal agencies, in the DOD, we're in tactical battle systems for the Army, we're in logistics systems for the Air Force, we're in on warships in the Navy, and on the civilian agencies, I mentioned National Weather Service, hurricane tracking, FAA, tracking of airplanes. The Census Bureau ran the last decennial on open source technology. It's really everywhere, and it's performing in an incredibly complex environment.
We're going to have to get a little break here. When we get back, I'd like to talk about some more serious topics, not talk about Shrek as much, talk about maybe common criteria, talk about maybe training, talk about speed. And we touched on speed with the rendering of animation. But I think speed is of a big concern for many, many of our listeners, especially with responding to citizens' needs, responding to warfighters' needs, and what's the most efficient way to accomplish some of these tasks. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about those topics. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Taking a quick break, we're speaking with Paul Smith, who runs the public sector at Red Hat.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Paul Smith. He runs the public sector at Red Hat, and we've touched on a lot of big issues and small issues. Let's get back to my listeners, the typical federal IT professionals. They're looking at Red Hat, kind of scratching their heads, saying, well, geez, what about standards? Does it comply with standards? Tell us about standards and training and maybe speed.
Okay. Well, at a very high level, what we do for a living is we integrate, test, certify, and indemnify the works of tens of thousands of developers to build a stable, secure, and fast version of all of our products, including Linux. Now, from a certification standpoint within the federal government, we've gone through common criteria 14 times. We've got FIPS 140-2. We do a lot of work with DISA on the DSCIDs, on the STIGs. So all the certifications that we need to get through for the federal government, we've done.
So that's a checkbox. We got that covered. What about training?
So training, we have bar none the best Linux training in the world. The Red Hat Certified Engineer is one of the most rigorous and respected certifications in the field. And the test to that is that a lot of certification programs will give a multiple choice test. What we do is at the end of the core curricula is we basically break something. And the practical is to get it up and running again. So it's a matter of putting the knowledge that you've gained through our courses to work and getting a system stood up again before you can actually receive your Red Hat Certified Engineer. So it's highly coveted and a widely respected type of certification. And we do that on-site, or we do that at a number of different training facilities throughout the world.
That's checkbox two. Checkbox three, what about speed? So what you're saying is Linux is faster at handling large quantities of information. Is it just your flavor of Linux, all Linux, or just your distribution, or just your cloud services?
So speed means a lot of different things to different people. I mean, you can take a look at benchmark results, and we do very well in those areas. As an example, SPEC, which is the Standard Performance Evaluation Corp, which is a third-party not-for-profit that looks at virtualization, has given us very high marks with our Red Hat Enterprise virtualization product, which, by the way, is built on KVM and is incorporated into the platform. So we do well there. We do well on Linux benchmarks as opposed to some proprietary systems in terms of throughput. But for other people, speed means, and especially for the warfighter, it's time to deploy. And one of the promises of open source has always been, how fast can you get innovation actually deployed? And if you take a look at some projects that have been very successful and in collaboration with the federal government, SE Linux is the security enhanced version of Linux, was actually developed in the test labs of the NSA. We worked with them, it went into upstream, and then we productized it. And now it represents a security at a very high level, policy-based security that's in a commodity platform. The Navy had a need for real-time type of operating system requirements on their warships for fire control systems and such. Not to be compared with general-purpose computing like you and I do every day with email. So IBM, working with the Navy and working with Red Hat, in a very short period of time, actually developed a real-time version of the kernel, and that was deployed in less than a year. So you take a look at things like that. You take a look at AMQP, which is an open-source project started in the financial community for faster messaging. All these projects were delivered according to what real customer needs were in a faster time frame. So that speed's important as well.
Well, the speed has gone by here real fast. We didn't even touch on your relationship with the Apache Foundation or with IBM. I mean, there's a whole long list of topics here. Perhaps we'll have you back here maybe in the spring and get caught up to speed and see another 700% growth with Red Hat. That's very impressive here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Paul Smith, Vice President and General Manager of the Public Sector at Red Hat. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, John. It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for feds on the go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, this is Chris from Force 3. For a limited time, we're giving away $20 worth of iTunes apps downloads to the folks at federal agencies who are so busy making last-minute IT upgrades. It's just a way to say thanks for your hard work, and there's no purchase necessary. We just want you to remember that Force 3 has people working late to take your calls. We're on Soup 4, have a huge GSA schedule, and a wide variety of GWACs. You can make all your purchases with one call, then play Doodle Jump, fix your game on Golf Putt Pro, or check out the field guide to North American Owls. Owls rock. Call 800-391-0204 and speak to a live Force 3 representative. Go to force3.com now to get your free downloads before the offer ends. And it will end. Just as the world will end. Yep, I got the Nostradamus app. Force 3 is a provider of IBM products and solutions for the federal government. IBM, smarter governing is what they do.